When you hear that school bell, this is for a Bible school. We call this the Warren County Radio Bible School. And I know we've had a lot of people moving into Warren County from elsewhere. I noticed all the construction going on, and you're certainly welcome to Warren County. And let me explain something to you about Warren County that might strike you as interesting. There are 45 Churches of Christ in Warren County. Now, that is really quite a number. In fact, there's a congregation of the Churches of Christ meeting for just about every 1,000 residents in the county. And these churches, now, they're not the Latter-day Saints churches, and they're not the snake-handling churches. There are some that had called themselves a Church of Christ of some time, or a Christ Church, or something up in the mountains where they would handle some snakes. But there's never been that done in these Churches of Christ. These Churches of Christ are all committed to restoring the church we read about in the New Testament. I know there's a lot of interest today in non-denominational churches, that is, churches that are affiliated with no higher organization. Well, let me tell you, the Churches of Christ, every congregation is non-denominational in that sense. There's no organic structure over these churches. They're all independent congregations, and together they acknowledge Christ as their King, and Christ is their head. And so the headquarters for the Churches of Christ is in heaven. And there's an emphasis in the Churches of Christ on the authority of the New Testament. This is the new covenant that Jesus brought into all of the world. And so we believe the Old Testament, every word of it, given by the inspiration of God. But the Old Testament does not tell us what to do to be saved. After the cross, God established a new covenant. It wasn't just with the Jews as the old covenant was. This new covenant was for all of the world. And so we look to that new covenant to see what we ought to be as a Christian and what we ought to be as a church. And so if you're new to the area, we invite you to visit one of these Churches of Christ. This particular radio program, the Warren County Radio Bible School, is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McBenville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we're doing in this school is going back and looking at old Sunday school lessons. I'm looking today at a Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March the 1st, 1925. Back in 1925, the name of E.A. Elam was common among the Churches of Christ in this area, and many of those in that day would have studied this very Sunday school lesson in their classes. And so I have a copies of those lessons, and I thought it would be good for us to go back and review these lessons. And as you can tell, since it's a Sunday school lesson of 1925, we're not talking about commentaries on current events. And neither was this lesson talking about current events in 1925, but the old story that is found in the Bible. And those old story never grows old, because it's always applicable and relevant to us in any time. And so these lessons are much valued to us today as they were in 1925. And we're studying about the trials of Jesus. We talked about how he'd gone through three trials before the Jews that put him to death, and then three trials before the Romans that acquitted him. But yet Pilate, the governor, in trying Jesus, was too cowardly to let Jesus go even on his own acquittal, but turned him over to the Jews to be executed, put to death by crucifixion. Let me read this to you from the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 24 through 26. So when Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, but rather a tumult was arising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this righteous man. See ye to it. And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he unto them Barabbas. But Jesus he scourged and delivered to be crucified. Again, the very thought of any punishment less than the crucifixion of Jesus filled the chief priest and people with fury, and with a loud voice they cried out, Exceedingly crucify him, Mark chapter 15 and verse 14. And they prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that what they asked for should be done, that is, Barabbas, the murderer, and the thief, and the insurrectionist, Barabbas, should be set free, and Jesus should be crucified. Sin is strangely inconsistent. These wicked people desired that one really guilty and convicted of insurrection and murder should be set free, while they were bent on the crucifixion of Jesus based on the false charges of raising an insurrection. But Pilate delivered Jesus up to their will, the will of personified envy, hatred, and wickedness. When Pilate could prevail nothing, he washed his hands as a sign of his innocence, but that could not remove the guilt from his soul. The Jews assumed all responsibility and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, John 19 and verse 1. Scourging was the cruel preparation for the execution. We read in the notes of one Farah, the unhappy sufferer was publicly stripped and tied by the hands in a bent posture to a pillar, and then on the tense quivering nerves of the naked back, the blows were inflicted with leathern thongs weighted with jagged edges of bone and lead. Sometimes the blows fell by accident, sometimes with terrible barbarity, and were purposely struck onto the face and eyes. It was a punishment so heinous that under its lacerating agony the victim generally fainted and often died. Still more frequently, a man was sent away to perish under the mortification and nervous exhaustion which ensued. Well, as after this shameful and revolting treatment, the whole band of soldiers, Mark 15:16, led Jesus back to the praetorium, stripped him of his clothes, that is, his clothes were put on him again after he was scourged, put on him a scarlet or purple robe, plaited a crown of thorns and placed it on his head, and put a reed in his hand, and all in cruel mockery, and bowed the knee before him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spat upon him, and took a reed, and smote him in the head, Matthew 27:27-30. And they said, Behold the man. This brutal treatment seemed to affect Pilate, and he had Jesus led out before the people as if to arouse their sympathy. Thus crowded and in a purple robe, Pilate preceded him and said, Behold, I bring him out to you, that you may know that I find no crime in him. And when Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple garment, Pilate said, behold the man. But the very sight of him enraged them still more, and they cried out for his blood. Crucify him! Crucify him! Then Pilate said virtually, if he must be crucified, you must do it. I shall not, for I find no crime in him. But they could not crucify Jesus. So they fell back to the original charge of blasphemy and said, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. The mention of the Son of God made Pilate more afraid. And he took Jesus once more into the judgment hall and questioned him in regard to his divinity. But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate reminded Jesus of the fact that he had power to crucify or release him. And this was so. He had the Roman army and the power of Caesar, but he did not have the courage and manhood. Pilate was kindly disposed and had some sense of justice. But he was weak. A vacillating coward is weak with an army at his back. Jesus explained that Pilate could have no power except it were given him from above, and that they who delivered him unto Pilate were the greater sinners. Then again Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried, saying, if thou release this man, thou art not Caesar's friend. And again Pilate sat in the judgment seat and said, behold your king. And again they said, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Galled and goaded into signing the death warrant, Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? And they answered, we have no king but Caesar. These priests and Jews hated Caesar, but they would have followed Jesus any day in a successful rebellion against the Roman government, for they were expecting someone to restore their independence and nation. But they pretended greater loyalty to Caesar in order to crucify Jesus. Pilate was afraid of Caesar and afraid of being accused of him. He would crucify an innocent person rather than lose his own position and power. His last hope of saving Jesus was gone. Let me read to you John 19, verses 1 through 16. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple garment. And they came unto him and said, hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him with their hands. And Pilate went out again and said unto them, behold, I bring him out to you, that you may know that I find no crime in him. Jesus therefore came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple garment. And Pilate said unto them, behold, the man. When therefore the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard this saying, he was the more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to release thee and the power to crucify thee? Jesus answered him, thou wouldest have no power against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me hath greater sin. Upon this Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, if thou release this man, thou art not Caesar's friend. Everyone that maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down at the judgment seat at a place called the Pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. He said, behold your king. And they said, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! That's where we're going to end the class today, and we'll take this up again in our next class session.